Hallelujah. Please open your Bible with me to the book of 1 John chapter 4. I prayed really hard. I have three messages on my heart tonight, but I believe this is the direction to go. And finishing the book of 1 John. 1 John, and we will start in verse number 16 and read through verse number 5 of chapter 5. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help me to preach tonight. I have three messages burning in my heart. And help me, dear Lord, to deliver this message for the glory of God. I pray it'll be a help. I pray, dear Lord, we can grow thereby and that you can bear much fruit in our lives unto your glory. Lord, none of us are here to receive glory unto ourselves. It's all about you, Lord. May you be the king of this place, the king of our heart, the king of our life, the king of our home, the king of our marriages, the king of our church. May you just rule it all, God. Lord, I just give everything to you tonight and ask you to work in every heart. Bless this place, these people, and accomplish your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I just love the word of God, amen. I love how the Lord just, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And so just going through, he said, and we have known and believed the love God hath to us. So I would say everybody in this room tonight has heard about the love of God, has heard about the mercy of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But this word known here, this is intimate. Have you become intimate with the love of God? Do you know the love of God in an intimate way? You see, it's one thing to know about it mentally. Oh yeah, I heard that story before. That man named Jesus, he died on the cross. That's interesting. I'm not talking about something like that. I'm talking about, has it become intimate to your heart? Have you experienced tonight Jesus's love for you? Have you experienced that you were a sinner, that you were on your way to hell, and that he loved you, and he wanted to save you? And it said here, and the same for me, have I experienced that? And we have known. Have you known this love? Are you acquainted with this love? Do you know this? Is this true in your heart and life? We have known and believed. And this belief here, this belief is not that, oh, I mentally recollect and agree that this is true. My friend, this belief here is to trust that the Son of God can hold you up.
Yep.
This belief here is to sit down and rest and anchor yourself and trust in the Son of God. Have you believed this love? Have you rested your soul in his love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Isn't that interesting? You read the word of God. The Bible said the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Where were you when Jesus sought you out? You were a friend of the world. Jesus loved you as his own enemy. Jesus loved me as his own enemy. And he allowed himself to be nailed to a wooden cross where he was crucified and he suffered in agony and he died for you and me. I say hallelujah. Yes. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Well, that's, I'll never forget, I'd just been saved about 6 months. And I started a Bible Institute at Brother James Jones's Bible Institute in Harriman, Tennessee. And he just told this story. I don't even remember why, but he told this story that some teacher at a school just wrote on a piece of paper, God is dash, 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 dash. And the students had to fill it in. And all the things that the kids wrote, God is cool, God is good, God is nice, God is love, God is holy. A lot of ways we can describe them, amen? But the Word of God, for 3.5 chapters, is just nailing the love of God. You know why? Because the book of Peter said that we should have fervent charity among ourselves.
Amen.
Fervent charity. That's what I should have to you. That's what you should have to me. That's what we should have to each other. That's the will of God for the church. And God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. This word is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Bible said that yesterday in present tense is. Today it says it's so, but it's true for yesterday and it will be true for tomorrow. He always is love. Amen. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. My friend, where are we dwelling tonight? Are you dwelling in the love of God? Am I dwelling in the love of, are we dwelling in the love of God? Or are we not? The Word of God doesn't want us to bite and devour each other. The Word of God doesn't want us to be bitter and hateful to each other. The Word of God doesn't want us to hurt each other. The Word of God wants us to dwell in fervent charity, dwelling in love and dwelling in God. But notice the wording. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So this is like a threefold triangle right here. If we're dwelling in love, then we're dwelling in God. But if we're not dwelling in love, then we're not dwelling in God. And if God is dwelling in us, then we have to be dwelling in love and dwelling in God. You can't separate. You can't separate this. God is love. The book of Romans chapter 5 said very clearly, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This shed abroad, this is a mass distribution. If you're saved, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit mass distributed his love in your heart. That's what the Word of God teaches. God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. You say, well, that didn't happen for me. Well, the Bible said God is love. If he's in your heart, then that love should be in your heart. Amen. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I remember, I believe it was over in John chapter 2, Jesus asked those disciples, maybe it was the latter part of chapter 1, he asked his disciples, where dwellest thou? It's an interesting question the Son of God asked. Well, I'll think of it tonight. Where are you dwelling? Where am I dwelling? Are we dwelling in the fervent charity of God? That's exactly where God would have us to dwell.
Amen.
Please notice with me the next verse in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. You say, well, where is our love made perfect? Well, when we're dwelling in love and we're dwelling in God, that's where our love is going to be made perfect. But the herein is also referring to the afterward. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. So not only is our love made perfect by the fact that we dwell in God and dwell in his love and he dwells in us, but the scripture said, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Do you realize the verse is saying here, God doesn't want me or you to have to be afraid when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged. But it actually says that we can have boldness.
Yep.
We can have confidence about how we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Do you have that confidence and boldness tonight?
Amen.
Or do you not? Well, here's what the Bible says and how it says we can have it. Because as he is, so are we in the world. So there we have it, my friends. The Bible teaches you and me that God would have us to live like Jesus Christ. God would have us in our life to mimic him.
Amen.
His love, his mercy, his godliness, his everything about him. Because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, some people have the mind, well, I don't want to be like Christians were 200 years ago. My friend, the Bible is so current, it tells us what's going to happen tomorrow, and we're not there yet. This is not, I'm not telling anybody to dress up like a pilgrim and act like you're 400 years old. I'm telling you, we can live according to the Bible and what Jesus said in 2024.
Amen.
Amen? Because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
So the question now asks, it says this, but is it true of us? Are we like him or are we not? I would say, if we're honest, every one of us falls short. Because he is the high and holy one that inhabiteth eternity. Amen. He is perfect. But that is what we are commanded to be as he is. What a challenge. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse number 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What's this Bible verse talking about? Well, it's talking about two things. If you're walking in love and if you're dwelling in love and dwelling in God, and God is dwelling in you, if I'm dwelling in love and dwelling in God and God is dwelling in me, then the Bible said, so then we will be as he is in this world. And the Bible said, there is no fear in love. So we would have boldness. We wouldn't have to be afraid. We would have boldness. Because he's working in our heart.
Amen.
Conforming us to his image. It's in the context. Just follows the verse. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I remember when I first got saved, I battled doubting my salvation for a little over a year. I got saved one night, and the devil, I mean, he gave me 400 reasons why Jesus didn't save me. I didn't say the prayer right. I didn't pray long enough. I mean, he had so many reasons, I can't remember them all. Every time I'd learn a new biblical word like sanctification or justification, it would have something. Well, you didn't do that or you didn't have that. I don't even know what it is. But he would have a reason. He would have a reason why I didn't get saved. I knew what it was, but I didn't know what it, I knew what it was. Amen. I knew that if I was a sinner and that I needed to go to Jesus for him to save me.
Yep.
But For about a year, the devil tormented my mind. And I went to Brother James Jones one time and I said, "Preacher, why do people doubt their salvation?" And he told me, he may have come up with more. I have some more opinions myself, but he told me, he said he knew of two reasons that people doubted their salvation. He said the first reason that people doubted is what we find in 2 Peter chapter number 1. They have sin in their life. And let's look over there for just a minute. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'm already getting behind my plan. But we'll look in verse number 5, 2 Peter chapter 1. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Notice verse number 8, very important here. Verse number 8 and 9. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you want to be fruitful for the Lord? You want to walk with God, have a blessed Christian life? These things need to be in us and abound. That's what the Bible just said. But notice verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It didn't say that he was unsaved. It said he got so far away that he forgot.
Yep.
That he was once purged from his old sins. And so now compare that with this text. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Wasn't that what the text just told us? That if we added virtue and all of these things, these godliness and these things to our life, that they would make us where we were neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it said, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was once purged from his old sin. Well, look, what did it say right here? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so one of the reasons people doubt their salvation is because they're not obeying the word of God. They're not living by the word of God. The second reason people doubt their salvation, according to Brother James Jones, and I agree, was demonic attack. We find Abraham in Genesis 15. God made him a promise. The devil was fighting him, and he asked God, whereby shall I know? Whereby shall I know? God just made him a promise. And Abraham said, well, how do I know it's true, God? Can you imagine asking God, how do I know what you said is true? But people do it all the time, don't we?
Right.
Yep. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you have boldness when we all stand before Jesus? What will it be like for us when we stand before him? Are you living for the Lord? Serving him faithfully? Obedient? Are you yielded to the Holy Spirit? What has God's word commanded us to do that we're not living by? I think every one of us right now know something in our life we should work on. Verse number 19, we love him because he first loved us. No doubt about that. I remember where I was when he found me. I was a heathen. I was ungodly. And my love was wrapped up in the evil and wicked things of this world. But I remember that night like it was 15 minutes ago. My soul melted, ice cold and hard as a rock. Psalm 97:5 said the hills melt like wax in his presence. I remember that night. I remember my dad would preach at me for years. Son, if I were you, I would do some serious soul searching. You're going to end up in either jail or in hell. And my dad wasn't afraid to just tell me like it was. I'm so thankful he stood between me and hell.
Amen.
Amen. But that night, when I got saved, something happened. I immediately fell in love with Jesus. I didn't even know the people's names at the church, but something flooded my heart. It's what Romans 5 said. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. We love him because he first loved us. But my question tonight is, do we love him? Look with me in John chapter 14. I mean, we come to church and we sing the hymn. There is a name, I'm not going to sing it. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. You know what Jesus said? I've read this verse before. I'm not saying nobody loves him. I'm just asking, do we? We're just going right through the words of the text. But this is what Jesus said. I figure if we're going to find out if we love Jesus, then he can tell us who really loves him, right? Well, this is what he said. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another.
Yes.
As he hath given us commandment.
Eight.
We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there it is. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? When we take that text in, we're not going to seek the hurt of our brother. We're not going to desire the hurt of our brother. But we're going to love our brother. That's what the scripture said. And this love here, this is the love of God. Let's keep reading. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. This is not an option. This is a command from God.
Yes.
This is the will of God.
Eight.
Chapter 5, verse number 1. Whosoever. So in this word is encompassed every person. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And you see a lot of people, they say they've believed, but they have questions. Am I really saved? Well, if you read verse number 13 of chapter 5, it said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. What are these things? These things are all of those things written from chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 13. And as we read these Bible verses, if God has saved us and we are following his word, they should be true in our life. And if they're not true in our life, then we find a predicament. It's either one of two things. Either I'm saved and I'm not living according to the word of God, or you're not saved. And that's where the Holy Spirit reveals that truth. These things are written so that somebody can know, but they're also written so that somebody can know if they're not. The Word of God, it's very interesting. It doesn't matter if you're from America. It doesn't matter if you're from China. It doesn't matter if you're from Korea. If I preach to you tonight in Korean, but you can't understand it. But if I preached in Korea tonight, the truth would be the same.
Amen.
It's for every person.
Amen.
It's for every person. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. But notice this, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So the one that begat, we're begotten of God. Amen. We were born of God. And the Bible says if you love the one that begat, that's God, then you love everyone that is begotten of him. Notice what it said, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now we're in a predicament. Because we believe Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, where it says every word of God is true. Or no, it says every word of God is pure.
Yep.
And we believe that's true. So then what about when someone says, well, I'm saved, but I don't love them. Well, then something's wrong.
Right. Yep.
You see, their word doesn't trump the word of God.
Right. Amen.
This is what God says is right. This is the right way. And if it is different than this, they're either saved and not right with God, or they're not saved. How did John say it over here? Verse number 10 of chapter 2. No, I'm sorry, verse number 10 of chapter 3. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. I didn't write that. God did. Isn't it amazing how God, the Holy Ghost, can let the Apostle John write such a sweet, soft letter, and it can cut deep inside.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone, you can't get away from that. Everyone. Do you notice there that it's even separate words? Every one of them, every one, all of them, every one that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse number 2, by this we know. So let me ask you, are you struggling with doubt tonight? Let me ask you, how's your love for God? And let me ask you, how's your love for the brethren? Because God has written for 3.5 chapters about loving him, living righteously, and loving our brother.
Amen.
By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. What did he say? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. For this is the love of God, verse number 3, that we keep his commandments. We already read that. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I love Brother Terrell Rose. I love all of y'all, but I'm just making an example. I love Brother Terrell Rose, and it's not grievous for me to love him. It's natural. It's something, God stuck something in my heart. I can't control it. It just comes up, amen. It's just there because it came from the Lord. It's not grievous. And some might say, well, it's grievous. Well, they're calling God a liar. God said it's not grievous, amen. That means something's wrong with their heart. Verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Interesting fact, this word victory in Greek is the word Nike. And that's the word they get Nike tennis shoes from. I preached a message from this verse called, do you got your Nikes on? Are you walking in victory? Because that's where the word Nike comes from, the Greek word for victory, Nike. And it said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Look with me in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 7 and 8. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Well, there you go. If you're an overcomer, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there you got God's promise right there.
Yep.
But notice verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My friend, I would just plead with you tonight. It's very possible in a crowd this size that somebody's not saved. It's very possible in a crowd this size that a number of people are not saved. If you're not, please come to Jesus tonight. We would love nothing more than to take the word of God and show you how you can know. Be sure. Maybe there's somebody in a crowd this size that's doubting. Or you got sin in your life and you're ashamed and you don't know what to do about it. My friend, you're sitting in a room full of sinners saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hey. I know what to do about it. Get you to the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? My friend, there is no other victory. There is no other hope. I want to see Tabernacle walk in victory.
Amen.
I want to see Tabernacle walk in fervent charity.
Yes, sir.
And I want to see the blessing of God like I've never seen before. I want to see that. And I believe God can do it today if we will follow his word. Amen.
Amen.
But there is no other way. There's some man can write a book and he can have some other methodology. It's not going to work. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Haven't you heard it so often? Well, this is what God said. Yeah, but no, no, no. But God said no, but no, no. God said this, and that's what's right.
Amen, amen, amen.
And yep. Sadly, I don't know if it's because of technology. I don't know if it's because America has been blessed. I don't know what it is. But Christians are getting to the place where what God said is not enough. You know, one of the problems is, I'm going to preach on this one day. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Yep.
They don't respect God. They don't care what God thinks. They don't care how he feels. They don't care what he said. People are filled with their own way. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Are we walking according to the word of God? How's your love? Are we like that in this world? How's our love to God? How's our love for the brethren? Let's stand together. If the Lord spoke to you, the altar's open. Heavenly Father, by the Holy Ghost, speak to hearts. If somebody's not saved, I pray you'd bring them under conviction, that they'd get born again. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to walk in love and fervent charity. I pray for the blessing of God. I pray you'd send revival. I pray you would just move in a powerful way. I pray for conviction. I pray for peace. I pray for your blessing. The will of the Lord be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
More love to thee, O Christ.
Amen. Amen.
More love to thee. Hear thou my earnest prayer on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love. To thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek. Give what is best.
Oh God.
This all my prayer shall be.
Amen.
More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be thy parting cry, my heart shall raise. This is its earnest prayer. More love to thee, more love to thee.
Amen, amen. Brother James, are we offline?
Yes.
I need to make a small announcement tonight.